So what does wellness mean to you?
Welcome to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. This week, another special guest, all the way from sunny Florida. We have Denny from Diz Runs. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so you're almost an honorary Canadian because you're from Michigan. So you can feel our pain with the long winters. And tell me you're a big runner. You're an online coach. We're going to talk about all that stuff. But tell me how running got started for you.
Well, it's one of those things where I was definitely not the runner growing up. And talking to a Canadian, I can actually say I played hockey growing up, as opposed to down here. I have to always say I played ice hockey, because if you say hockey down here, they think street hockey or roller hockey, things like that. But I grew up playing hockey, or and pretty much every sport. I mean, I played some baseball, played some football, whatever was kind of in season, I played it. But never got into the running thing. Always, running was always the worst part of practice. It was always the conditioning part, the punishment part. You screw something up, you had to go run, and I didn't care for it. I remember vividly in high school talking with friends that were, ran track or run the cross country team, and just almost mocking them and saying, why would you choose a sport where the only thing you do is run, when we were playing other sports, we all complained about the running part of practice or conditioning, things like that. So long-winded way of saying I was never a runner. When I got to college, I would run once in a while just for a fitness perspective, drink a few too many beers, eat a few too many, too much pizza late at night, and try to keep the belly under control. So I'd run here and there. Never enjoyed it. Just kind of did it because I needed some exercise, needed to burn a few calories. And then every once in a while, there'd be a pretty girl that would ask if you wanted to go for a run. So of course you say yes to that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it didn't make the run more enjoyable, but at least the company was pleasant. Yeah. So that was through college. Still didn't really enjoy running, but would do it once in a while, and kind of continued that for another 3 or 4 years. Met my wife, who obviously wasn't my wife right at the beginning, but she was a bit more of a runner. So I'd run with her once in a while, and she was that annoying runner who would run out in front of me, and then like run back to me, and then run backwards in front of me, saying, "Come on, come on, come on, let's go, we're trying to run here." And then she'd run back ahead, and that process would repeat itself over and over and over again. When I was in grad school, I guess, but somewhere along the line, it became something where I continued to do it for fitness. I continued to do it, to just try to stay healthy. But, all of a sudden it started to become something that I actually looked forward to. I actually looked forward to having some time, outside, having some time, whether it's with music in my ears or with just silence and being able to just kind of collect my thoughts, but just kind of get away and have some time to myself. And then it continued to evolve until it became something that not only was it something that I enjoyed a little bit or begrudgingly enjoyed, but by gosh, I needed it. I need those runs. I need that time to myself. And so for probably 6 or so years now, it's been something that I definitely can't do without for very long. If I go a few days without running now, my wife will tell me to, she'll kick me out of the house, tell me I need to go run and burn some energy off or burn some stress or whatever it is, and come back and be a normal person again. So it's been an evolution. It's been a bit of a acquired taste over some time, but I'm happy with where I am now and the fact that I definitely am a runner at this point in my life.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot like my story. A kind of a reluctant runner, but now here we are. I'm a kind of a runner and kind of a running coach. So, so what did you go to school for?
My major was in athletic training. So I kind of continued my love of sport and competition into college. I knew I wasn't blessed with the gene to compete at a higher level. Once I got out of high school, my opportunities to really compete in athletics were done. So what could I do to still be around the environment around sports? And that was, to kind of try to be the guy to help keep the athletes together, help put them together when they're injured, help to prevent them from being injured. So I kind of went into the, we call it athletic training down here, but physiotherapy, something like that, which is, I think some of my Canadian clients talk about going to the physio. I think that's kind of the pretty similar line of work.
Yeah, so actually, we've had an athletic therapist here on the podcast a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So, So yeah, it's not as prevalent here in Canada, but I am very well aware. I've been treated by athletic therapists. I love them. And I know obviously they're a little more, there's a lot more of them in the States. So it's nice to be able to talk. We can kind of talk. Yeah. A lot of people here go to physios or go to chiros. But a lot of, especially if you've been an athlete, you've been treated by, an AT at one point. And then did you do your master's in that as well?
Yeah. My master's was in, exercise science. So, okay. You know, similar vein, but a little more techie, a little more cellular, I guess, maybe cellular level instead of just the hands-on in the training room environment.
Okay. And the good thing, it sounds like you're putting it all to work now.
Yeah, I a little bit, indeed.
Yeah. And, before we get into kind of the meat of stuff, I want to, figure out, did you get to run a little bit, do some winter running in Michigan when you were growing up?
I did some. I mean, like I said, I wasn't the biggest runner, you know, growing up and whatnot in high school and things of that nature. But I mean, you know, I played hockey, so that was a winter sport. So certainly, you know, some and it wasn't where I lived. It was a small town. We didn't have like a big team. It wasn't, you know, we weren't on the ice every day or things like that. So I definitely did some winter running to, you know, between practices or between you know, games and whatnot, depending on where we were in the season to stay in shape. So I'm not an accomplished winter runner, but I've definitely, you know, run on the ice and snow several times.
Yeah. That's actually, it's one of the things I feel bad for folks that are living in warm climates, because to me, winter running, when it's minus, you know, 20 or 30, which would be, you know, below zero for you, is damn near magical, especially when you've got a beard and you've got icicles forming, and it does really feel kind of hardcore, and it actually, once you get over the shock, like the first 5 minutes are usually not that much fun, but once you get over that, it's pretty darn fun.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I even down here, and this is the one thing that makes me sound like a real wimp when it comes to the weather, but I don't like being cold in the first thing in the morning. So if I'm going to run when it's legitimately cold, I need to be awake. It needs to be kind of a midday or even evening. I don't mind doing it in the evening, but I just have to be awake. So getting outside at 5 in the morning when it's in the negatives, is tough. And shoot, to be honest, getting outside and when it's at 5 in the morning, when it's in the 40s here. So, you know, like, in the high single digits or low teens for the Celsius folks, is tough for me too. But as long as I'm awake, I can handle it. It doesn't matter how cold it is. Once I wake up, I can handle it.
Yeah. So I guess you might get your Michigan license plate revoked, if you say that up there. So, but,
I got to be careful where I say that kind of thing.
We'll let it go. We'll let it go today. We're in a good mood. So you talk about, you know, I've done a little bit of research on, you talk about running pain free. So what does that mean to you? Is there certain aspects that you coach folks on?
Well, I think, I mean, a lot of runners, you know, kind of, I don't know if a lot is quite the right way to say it, but I, you know, several folks I know both, you know, in person and online, kind of go through these phases where, you know, some of the more common running injuries, your shin splints, your plantar fasciitis, runner's knee, things of those natures, where it's like, they just kind of feel like it's part of the process, you know, where they something starts to hurt, whether it's their foot or their shins or their knee, whatever. And they take some time off and it starts to feel a little better. They get back to running and then, you know, rinse and repeat however many weeks or months later when the pain starts to come back again. And it's just an endless cycle of, all right, I'm feeling good. I'm going to train for this race. And then after the race, I'm probably going to be out again because of an injury. And with, you know, like I said, with my athletic training background, my exercise science background, it frustrates me to no end when runners think that, that certain injuries are just unavoidable. You know, I'm not going to say that I have some magic touch that can prevent any and all injury ever from coming back or from ever happening to begin with. I'm not going to say that I have some magical potion that prevents, you know, any flare up of a pre-existing or a former issue of plantar fasciitis or shin splints or whatever. But I do think that the vast majority of those kind of common running injuries are very much preventable. That if you're proactive towards treating them as opposed to waiting until they flare up to worry about them, you can completely prevent them from, you know, from really ever bothering you. I mean, I couldn't tell you the last time I had shin splint pain or plantar fasciitis pain. And I'm running more now than I ever have. And I'm running with less pain than I ever have. So I know that they can be treated and you know, can be prevented instead of being required to be treated. And that's what I try to convey to folks, whether I'm working with them or whether I'm just chatting with them on the podcast or emails or social media, whatever, that, you know, some of these things, they don't have to be part of your running, you know, your regular running occurrence. Like just prevent them and you'll be good to go.
No, I'm one of the converted, so you're definitely speaking my language. But so how do you, and we chatted a bit before about chi running, so you kind of understand that where I'm coming from, but how do you ensure that people don't become injured? Is there certain, you look at their running gait, you prescribe certain, drills or something. What comes, if someone comes to you with an injury, what goes through your mind and what goes through, I guess, your mouth when you speak with them?
Well, certainly every situation is going to be, you know, unique, but in general, there's going to be some running form things that would like to, possibly address. I'm a recovering heel striker. I used to heel strike pretty bad. And that was, you know, when that happened, that was kind of right at the point when I was starting to enjoy running, but, I wasn't quite all in on it yet. And I was very close to giving up on running because I couldn't do more than 5 or 6 miles without, you know, terrible shin splint pain, terrible just knee pain. Everything would hurt. I was that guy that was walking around with ice bags just wrapped around me, after any, you know, type of half marathon or certainly after a marathon. And I read something about 4 foot running and trying to kind of keep your feet underneath you instead of landing out with your heel out in front of you. And that was a big change for me. So that's always something that I certainly kind of look to depending on what the injury might be or what the issue might be. And the other thing that I'm a big believer in is just, you know, kind of what are you doing when you're not running? Because I think a lot of times, runners look at, you know, is it my running shoes? Is it my form? Is it this, that, or the other thing? And they're only focused on, while I'm running, you know, is that what is causing the problem? And it could be a muscle imbalance. It could be the shoes you're wearing when you're not running that is causing you problems. It could be tightness. It could be tightness of the hips, lack of mobility, flexibility issues. There's so many other things that can be looked at. And by kind of taking a little bit bigger picture than just, you know, this is what hurts when I run, how do I fix it? Looking at kind of more the body in general and every, you know, kind of all the other things that are associated with what, you know, what with each individual person and their circumstance, you can really look at what can we do to not only solve the problem that you're dealing with right now, whatever the pain is, but you know, what can we do to strengthen, to you know, improve the mobility, to do whatever we might need to do so that once we solve it this one time, Now we're done solving it. We've you know, taken how can we take some proactive steps to alleviate the problem from coming back again? And that's when people can grasp that idea of doing some things beyond just what are they doing when they're running or immediately after their run to solve the problem. That's when the things go away. That's when you don't have to deal with some of those more common aches and pains anymore because you're just taking care of them a little bit every day and that little bit of you know that ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure type of saying comes into play.
Awesome. No, I love it. Again, people, and I say the same thing when I teach my workshops. I mean, you stand a lot more than you walk and you walk a lot more than you run. And people, they're like, oh no, I hurt my knee running. It's like, well, I'm sure your posture has something to do with it. I'm sure the fact that you're, you know, very inflexible or your mobility is not what it used to be when you were 20. So yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Also, I mean, you come at it with a slightly different slant being a personal trainer and all. So what's your approach to running from a personal training standpoint?
As in like from exercises or for health or where are you angling here?
Yeah. From exercise, is there anything that you're doing to become a better runner in the gym?
I mean, I'm definitely a believer in the value of strength training. I think that being an athlete and who runs as opposed to just being a specific runner is beneficial. You know, our bodies are designed to yes, I think we're kind of, you know, designed to be able to run, but we're also designed to be able to lift things and pull things and push things and do other activities. And for the most part, most of our lives, I think, demand some of that things, whether it's playing with your kids or whether it's you know, moving stuff in the house or whatever it is. I mean, we are more dimensional than just running forward in a straight line most of the time. So doing some other things, whether it's strength training and you know, focusing on whole body lifts. So maybe that's squats or lunges or deadlifts or, you know, push-ups, pull-ups, chin-ups, things like that, where you're engaging other muscles. And, you know, like I mentioned, you know, push-ups, pull-ups, things of that nature. Don't forget your upper body. You know, even if you're a runner, upper body strength and upper body fitness is still important. You may not need to become bodybuilder size, but having some strength and some stability in your upper body is valuable, both for running and for just everyday life to make sure that you're able to do the things you need to do. And also I've gotten into more recently, into doing some, you know, I don't want to say non-traditional things, but some things beyond just lifting weights and moving heavier stuff once in a while, or doing body weight exercises. So things like Pilates, things like, I've been kind of into yoga for a while. I think yoga is great. So I really like doing a little bit of everything. You know, for me, running is certainly my focus. Running is where I'm trying to improve and excel. You know, I'm not going to win any races, but certainly always trying to compete against myself and get faster and run farther or things of that nature. But I've seen firsthand, I've seen with myself and with clients that running is great, but if you really want to maximize and stay healthy and avoid some injuries, you need to do some other things too. So like I said, Pilates and yoga for me are where I spend most of my non-running time now, but I also do every once in a while, I'm mixing some cross training, get in the pool, do some biking, maybe get in the weight room and do some strength training as well. So I think it's important to be well-rounded and not just try to be that one, you know, that one trick pony, if you will, but really kind of make ourselves be athletes or just, you know, total well-rounded humans. And then I think that helps our running as well.
Yeah. So again, there's a difference between running for money if you're, you know, if this is your livelihood, or running for fun, because most of us, unfortunately, are right in the second category. And you forgot to mention hockey. Don't you still play hockey?
Not so much anymore. I was reffing for a while. Okay. So I was getting my skating fix from you know, wearing the stripes and tooting the whistle. But I haven't done that in a little bit either. So I actually wouldn't mind getting back out on the ice, because that was a great kind of cross training workout as well.
Yeah. No, I still play hockey, usually in the winter, anywhere from 2 to 4 leagues, and then a couple of leagues in the summer. So I find hockey, totally aside here, but I find hockey is one of my most favorite, like, fun sports in the world. I feel like I'm 5 years old and I'm on the ice, and it's just, mm-hmm. It's a good workout. It's usually fairly easy on the body unless you get a little too ambitious, but, I think in the last 5 years, I haven't taken more than like a month or two off from in between seasons. So it's been a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, I would love to do it. It's just down here, the access to ice isn't quite the same as it is in some other parts of the world. So it's about an hour to the ice rink. So for officiating, it was like, you know, unless you were getting 2 or 3 or 4 games, it was kind of, was it really worth it? And the prices down here are a little bit ridiculous too. So I was just like, I'd rather go get paid to go skate than to pay to go skate. So, I would love to get back on the ice though. It's a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah. It's a little different here. I think within, you know, a couple kilometers, I've got like 5 rinks. So it's definitely a little different up here.
Right.
So most of your business is online. How does that, it seems like you worked that on purpose. How does it work? Like, how are you loving it? How do you contact your folks? Like, just how does the whole mechanics of it all? Cause it's something that I think a lot of people are, do I get a coach online? Like, do I need a coach to come and see me? That kind of stuff. So I'd love to get your take on that.
Yeah. It's something that I think, There's pros and cons, of course, to lots of things in life, and you know, the difference between an online running coach and an in-person running coach, there's certainly pros and cons there as well. You know, we talked a little bit about form and kind of using form to kind of help prevent injuries earlier, and obviously online, that's something that's quite a bit different or quite a bit difficult. You know, I can see a photo, I can see a video, but it's not the same thing as being able to you know, watch somebody run or to run with somebody and really see the nuances of what they're doing and try to correct those. So that's certainly a pro for the in-person thing, something that is a hurdle and an obstacle that I have to work with. And sometimes it can be a real struggle to work with some form corrections with my athletes online. But I love it. You know, I love the fact that I can literally work with clients from around the world. I have clients in Canada, clients in Australia, clients in Egypt, clients in, of course, in the United States. still working on breaking into Europe. Haven't quite gotten into the European market yet, but you know, it's just the internet allows us to, I mean, just like we are now. I mean, we're, you know, miles and miles and miles away, and we're able to have a chat and broadcast that around the world to anybody who's interested. So being online is something that I enjoy. I've had a great time working with folks. And, you know, again, it comes down to what do you want? You know, do you want somebody who's going to show up and make sure that you're there at 5 o'clock in the morning on the days of your workouts? Then an online coach probably isn't something that's going to be good for you, isn't going to be able to help you. If you're looking for someone who can structure your workouts for you, can check in on you and make sure that you're able to, you know, that you did what you're supposed to do, or how are the workouts going, things of that nature. And provide some of that structure, so you don't have to take the guesswork out of it. You don't have to wonder, what should I be doing? Should I do this or should I do this workout? With the folks I work with, I put it down on the calendar. We rotate through things. We're not doing the same thing over and over and over again. But, you know, they know on today, this is what I'm supposed to do. And they just have to show up and do it. And they also know that I'm going to be checking in on them later. So, you know, they better show up and do it. So there's a level of accountability. But is it the same as somebody being there and meeting with you in person? No, it's certainly not. So, you know, for somebody who's looking for an online coach, I think, you need to be self-motivated enough that you're going to do the work. Cause I've had folks that have signed up with me in hopes that that's going to provide enough accountability for them. And it is tough. I mean, you know, I can't be there. I can't be obviously around the world with all of my clients on a daily basis. So, if they're really counting on me to provide them the motivation, it hasn't worked as well, because, you know, they can either lie to me and tell me they did something that they didn't do, or they just say, oh, I just couldn't do it today. And there was no, you know, it's just harder to bring that accountability piece, not in person, but the folks that are driven, that they know what their goals are, they know what they want to do, they know they're willing to do it, they're just not exactly sure what the best steps are, whether that's in progressing as a, you know, running faster, running farther, running without getting injured, because I've had several of those clients as well. You know, if they're going to do what I ask them to do, we see some results, and that's really and I think that translates in person or online too. If you're going to show up and give the effort, then having a coach can be a great asset, because it really, you know, helps to streamline your process and keep you going in the right direction without trying a dozen different things to try to figure out which one might work best for you. You have that coach, that expert that's telling you, do this, and you do it, and 9 times out of 10 you'll see some progress that way.
Yeah, no, I think the biggest thing for coaching is the accountability and the kind of the strategy and the, you know, the stuff behind the scenes. But yeah, you're right. Like anything in this world, it's only as good as what you put in, right? So if someone says, oh yeah, I'm doing the work, and then they're sitting on the couch eating Cheetos, and then obviously they're not going to get many results. But that doesn't matter if you're in town or online. It's,
right.
It's the same thing. So how would you, like, if I come up to you at a dinner party and how do you sum up your style of coaching in the Cole's Notes version, basically, like in 30 seconds or less?
It's, oh boy, 30 seconds left. That's a tough one. I think my philosophy is I'm pretty laid back. I'm a pretty loosey goosey guy. But at the same time, like I said, it's all about, you know, are you going to do what you say you're going to do? So it is some accountability, and it's structure. I think that I'm really good at keeping the big picture in mind. So if you're just looking for, you know, give me an ABC to get to, you know, through my next race that's in 3 months away. I can do that, but I think I'm a lot better when it's, all right, this is where I want to be in 3 to 5 years. And I need a plan to help me get there. And so really keeping that big picture, but still moving forward towards those big picture goals on a regular basis. So I think for me, that's my best asset. And those are the clients that I've had the most success with, are the ones that have been around for, you know, literally for, you know, year one, year two, year three, that's where you really, I think, start to see the progress, because it's keeping that long-term view in mind and making steady progress towards it.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, running brings a lot of A-type folks, and they want it all like tomorrow. And it's the same thing with me. They're like, people come to me and they're like, oh, I want to run a, you know, a personal best in the marathon next month. And I'm like, have you been training? They're like, no, not really. It's like, well, you know, you're not a magician.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, you're not a magician. Right. So, but a lot of times, because they, you know, they see a movie, or they, you know, they read a story about this one guy who, you know, won the marathon in his first race. Like, well, yeah, he must have been a little bit gifted to begin with. You know, it's not the, but again, it's different folks or different strokes for different folks. But I think you're right. Like the long-term view. That's why I want to be able to run until I'm 80. I'm never going to win a race, but to be able to go out there and enjoy it and be pain-free and And especially if I'm traveling, to be able to see different cities on running shoes is pretty darn cool.
There's nothing better than traveling and going for a run in a different city.
Yeah, even when it's cool or hot, whatever happens. So let's get back to a little bit of your running before we end this. I was reading on your site that you're looking to basically race in every state. How's that coming along?
Yeah, it's we're still in the infancy. I have a goal of running a marathon in every state of the U.S. here, and we're five states down with 45 to go. It's just a matter of lining up the finances for the travel and all of that type of thing and scheduling things and whatnot. So we're still early. This year so far, 2017, haven't added another state to the list yet, but looking at some options for later this fall and into the kind of wintry months around here. It's a blast. It's something that when I really kind of decided that running was something I wanted to do, it would just seem like a fun goal because it gave me an excuse to travel to some places that maybe I wouldn't travel to regularly and don't have family or friends in many of the states. Obviously, most of my family and friends are either back in Michigan or down here in Florida. So it gives me an excuse to travel, gives me an excuse to go to some places that I wouldn't normally go to, and do it while running at the same time. So it's a big goal. I don't have a time frame on it yet. By the time it's all said and done, I'd love to do all of them. And I'm, gonna make that happen, but it's just, little by little. And the only state that is, kind of planned for is Hawaii. I want Hawaii to be the last one. I want that to be the party, the celebration, go out and have a good vacation and just enjoy myself on the islands run that 50th state, in Hawaii. But everything else, I'll take the opportunities as they come.
Yeah, no, it's and that's one nice thing about a big country like yours. Same thing with a big country like Canada. It's every state is totally different. I mean, I've been lucky. I haven't run a marathon. Technically, I ran one in New York, but that was the only state. But I've done a lot of triathlons in your country. I've done Georgia. I've done obviously New York. I've done what's that little island? Rhode Island.
Right.
There's been some really nice places. I've been to California. That's where I got certified. There's some really nice places to run or do races in the entire continent. So we're very lucky here. So which ones have you done so far?
So I've obviously done Florida several times because being that it's local down here, sometimes you get stuck running a race, even though it's just because you need to run a race. So I've done Florida, I think, four or five times. I've also run South Carolina, Virginia, Missouri, and California. So as travel has been to different places for different reasons, if I can find a race, I do it. So that's what it's been so far. And like I said, nothing is penciled in for the next, but it's just whatever the next opportunity is to be in a different part of the country. When there's a race, I'm gonna sign up and do it.
Yeah, one little tip. Don't do an ultra marathon in North Dakota in February. I've done it. It wasn't very smart, but learn from my mistakes. So if you're going to do North Dakota, do it. Maybe, and probably, you're probably smarter than me because I realize, North Dakota can't be that cold, but it can be.
Yeah, North Dakota is, I'll be looking for certainly a spring, maybe even a summer race in North Dakota, I think, as opposed to winter months.
Yeah, that's probably smart. So I know you're a busy gentleman. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but before we head off, this is a question I ask all my guests, and I love how everyone kind of goes in different place with this. But what does wellness mean to you?
It means a lot, but I think for me that, kind of what I would consider, taking care of yourself and just being well is really, all around. I think the physical part comes into it. But I think, wellness is a whole body thing. So it's mind, it's body, it's spirit, and just kind of taking care of yourself. There's no magical, at least in my mind, there's no magical body size or weight or things that you can check off the list to be, you know, to be classified as you're well. But I think it's just kind of that feeling of all right, I'm moving once in a while. I'm breaking a sweat. I'm doing something physical. I'm learning. I'm reading. I'm studying. I'm you know, doing something to exercise the mind a little bit. And also taking care of your spirit, whether that's some type of religious thing or whether it's just, you know, being out in nature or whatever it is to each person. I think it's you know, like you said, it's a different answer for every person, because it's certainly an individual type of thing, you know, on all of the levels, or at least all the levels that I kind of relate to wellness. But I think it's just, you know, just taking care of yourself holistically is what defines wellness, or is the action that I guess maybe brings about wellness in my mind. So you know, body, mind, and spirit, just taking care of yourself and always kind of trying to be better, and better can look a lot of different ways, but just constantly looking to improve and continue to grow and push your boundaries and you know, always looking to be more well, I guess, which is a terrible way of defining what wellness is, to use it in the definition. But you know, that's what it means to me. It's just always looking to get better in all areas of your life and your health.
I like it. I like it. So before I let you go, what's the best way for people to connect with you if they want to find out more about your coaching services, or you have your amazing podcast, which I've been lucky to be on, or I will be on fairly shortly. And I love how you kind of do it all. You and the podcast is fun. It's kind of similar to this. It's kind of a conversation with different kinds of runners. But on the social, where is your favorite platform?
Gosh, it ebbs and flows, but I think my two favorites are Instagram and Twitter. One day one is a little bit more favorite than the other, but it kind of goes back and forth. But pretty much anywhere, any social media platform, any website, anything. Period. Best way to get in touch with me is always Diz Runs. So DizRuns.com, Diz Runs on Twitter, Diz Runs on Instagram, Diz Runs on Facebook. You know, all of the places. Diz Runs is pretty consistent across the board, and always looking to connect and strike up a conversation, and always love having the opportunity. So if you're interested in anything or just want to shoot the breeze a little bit, please reach out. I'm always happy to do so.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I do appreciate your openness. You're always happy to chat running, and I always see you asking and creating dialogues on, especially on my favorite platform, Twitter. So it's nice to see that you're out there on a regular basis, not just, you know, once in a while. So it's and as you, I think we're similar in the fact that we can talk about running for hours, if not days. So you have to just be careful about that sometimes.
Yes. I can get lost in a good running conversation back and forth on Twitter or wherever. So, but yeah, I'll talk about it all day. So if you have anything that you want to talk about, let's fire it up.
Well, thanks again, Denny, for a great chat. Looking forward to maybe either doing a run for you, a cold run up here, or for me, a warm run down there. We should get on that one of these days.
I would love it, Eric. Let's make it happen.
Okay. Thank you all. You've been listening to Wellness Wednesdays. I'm your host, Eric Collard. Until next week, be well.
Doing all right.
Yeah. Is it sunny in sunny Florida?
Is it? Yes. That's a fair assumption that it's sunny today.
It's actually somewhat sunny here, so I'm not complaining.
Nice. I wish it was somewhat sunny and maybe a little bit chilly, because I overslept a little bit this morning, so I'm going to be paying for it on my run later today.